So up till this point in the Tanya, chapter 41, Perek Mem Aleph, which is on page Nun Vav, basically we know the whole system already. If you've been paying attention, then you know the system. You know the drill, you know that we have two souls, you know the souls are at war with each other, you know we have to control our impulses. You know the drill by now. We've gone over it, we've spoken about it. I know we just did the bird's eye view, but we have the idea. Anyway, certainly a person who went through every word of the Tanya by now knows the drill. You know what you're supposed to do. You know what your challenges are. You know how to control your impulses. You know how to give yourself a little boost when you need it every once in a while. You know how to deal with the flat tires of life, so to speak, the challenges of life. We pretty much know everything we need to know, basically. What we need is homework. Homework's not supposed to be good, but maybe it is good. I don't know. We need homework. Or maybe homework has negative connotations. So rather than needing homework, let's just say we need what to do for the rest of our lives. Because as the Alter Rebbe told us at the beginning of Tanya, in the introduction to Tanya, we mentioned in the first class, that the Tanya was written in order to take the place of Yechidus. That's what the Alter Rebbe told us in the Hakadomas HaMalakit, the introduction. The Tanya is meant to replace as much as possible, or to replace, the Alter Rebbe even writes in the introduction, all the answers to all the questions, to replace a personal interaction, a personal Yechidus with the Alter Rebbe, where I can ask him anything that's on my mind in my life, anything in the Avodas Hashem. So we're really coming back to that now, because now we had all the opportunities to pose to him all of our challenges and questions and problems, and he's addressed everything. He put the system on the table. If I don't know the system, then I have to go back and I have to review it and review it till I have the system clearly. But once I know the system, in a sense, the Tanya is now the Yechidus. Tanya is the Yechidus. We're now wrapping up, we're concluding the Yechidus, which God willing we will finish the Tanya today, if you can call it finished. We'll finish the Tanya. We're wrapping up our Yechidus. And the parting message that the Alter Rebbe is giving me is, okay, remember all that stuff I told you the first 40 chapters? Well, this last Yechidus we're having now is for you to take with you to do the rest of your life. Again, homework has negative connotations. But it's your task. It's what to occupy yourself with for the rest of your life. So last week, we spoke about a bird. Remember the bird? With two wings. One of the wings is Yira, the other wing is Ahava. And we spoke about how the bird can be a bird without wings. It just can't fly. So we said, likewise, a person can do mitzvahs without Ahava and Yira. You could do it, and it's still a mitzvah, absolutely. But the wings, the avanir, will propel the mitzvah higher. They help enhance the mitzvah. That's what we spoke about last week. But really, avanir are not just there to enhance our mitzvah, to make our mitzvah more gishmak, more exciting, more enjoyable. That's true, but it's more than that. They're actually the foundation of the mitzvah. They're the motivation behind, why should I do a mitzvah anyway? Avanira is why I should do a mitzvah. They're the foundation that supports the mitzvah. So we're going to go more, pretty much, for the rest of Tanya, for the most part, about Avanira. Basically, at least chapter Mem Aleph through Nun, really, is about Avanira. Different types of Ava, different types of Yira, and so on and so forth. We're not going to cover all the different types in today's class, because again, we're trying to get the bird's eye view. We're going to give an example of each, but really we're going to try to go quickly through it to get the picture. So we have Ava and Yira. I need to cultivate strong Ava and Yira. Why do I need to cultivate strong Ava and Yira? Well, if I don't have Ava and Yira, first of all, my bird's not going to fly. My mitzvahs are going to lack that enhancing, that quality of enhancement, the gishmaka quality, number one. And number two, I'm going to be missing the whole foundation behind the mitzvah. What am I here for anyway? Why am I doing all this stuff? Got to have avanira. So I got to work on that now. And the Alter Rebbe is going to give me different ways to work on avanira for the rest of my life, to take with me. Different approaches, different styles of Avan Yira. So really, Prakim Mem Aleph through Nun are saying as follows. I know from earlier in Tanya that I can control my impulses when push comes to shove. If I have to not do something, I can do it. I can control myself. It's going to be hard if I have to keep doing that for the rest of my life. Right? That's why the Tanya also gave me tools to inspire me, to lift me up and so forth. So I can control my impulses. Those are my outsides. Remember we spoke about we have so-called the outsides, that's my machshava dibur maisa. Then I have my insides. Those are my the spheros, the emotional attributes and so forth. So while I can control my impulses, I need a little bit more than that because it's just too hard to maintain that. So what the Altar is going to give us now is a way to use my seichel, to use my intellect, to generate emotion, to generate feelings, genuine feelings for Hashem. And that's not easy. You see, I know that I can change my outsides pretty easily. I can change what I think. That's the hardest one to change. Start the other direction. I can change what I do pretty easily. Just stop doing whatever it is. I can change what I say. It's a little bit harder, but I could just stop talking or say nice things instead. I could change that. And I could even change what I think. That's harder, but I can control my machshava. So relatively speaking, to control my so-called outsides, my machshava divar maisa, is pretty easy, relatively speaking. But to change my guts, to change my insides, to change who I am, my emotional qualities, my emotional attributes, that's a lot more difficult. We're talking now about changing how I feel. That's much more difficult, but it can be done also. It just takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. And it can slowly, slowly, slowly be changed. And that's the lifelong work of the Beinoni, is to change the inside as well, to change what I want. I shouldn't want that anymore. I should want Elokus. I should want Torah and Mitzvahs and Yiddishkeit. And that I should have, not just that I should want it, I should even feel for it. Again, not easy, but that indeed is the lifelong task of the Beinoni, and that's where we are now. So he starts on Perek Mem Aleph with Yira. Why do we start with Yira, not Ava? Well, Yira, I don't like to translate as fear, because it's not really fear. Fear means like you're scared. Yira is not fear, it's awe. Awe means reverence. Reverence means respect. Kavod. Yira and kavod go together. What does respect mean? Like you say, respect my space. The beginning of any healthy relationship must be yira, not ava. Ava, I love you. Well, your love means nothing if you don't have yira for the other person. If you don't respect the other person. If you can't recognize that there is a distance between the two of you, there is a gap, that's the yira, that's the awe or the respect, then you can't actually, you can't bridge the gap. If it's just love, 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 ava, that's not a good foundation for a real relationship because there's no sense of distance. In order to come close, there first has to be a feeling of distance. Imagine a person who you simply don't respect anything they say. Imagine a parent to a child. Don't respect anything the child says, but I love you. You love me. Well, if you love me, why don't you respect that I don't want that? Or that I don't like this? You know, that's not love. That's just selfishness. So every relationship has to begin with yira. In other words, there has to be an awareness that there is a distance, right? Yira means distance. When there's a feeling of reverence, if the president walks in the room, you say, "Whoa!" You feel like this is a great, no political comment intended here. This is a great individual. There's a sense of whoa, reverence. You would almost automatically stand up if a person of great stature walked in the room, or let's say lahavdil the right way, if a huge Talmud Chacham, respected by all, and walks in the room, it's like you wouldn't even stand up because there's a halacha to do that. You would stand up automatically. Whoa, look who just came in the room. Amazing. Wow. And you would never call him by first name. Even if he said to you, call him by first name, you just wouldn't do it. Why? There's a feeling of distance. There's a feeling of separation. That's not a bad thing. When you have that feeling of distance, when you sense that there's a gap, no, now I could have love to try to bridge that gap, to try to connect that gap. Yeah.
So, one of the things that you said about Ahava, as opposed to selfishness.
Yeah.
So, says right in the beginning, Sheyir he shores the Sumerah, the Abba Levasatov.
Yeah.
So, why is that? Why don't you just say, why is Yira first, Dafu Sumerah, Abba Levasatov? Why is that both? Both.
Okay.
Just Ahava, just like I love him and he tells me to do this, since I love him, I won't do what he tells me not to do. And Yira, just like I'm afraid of him, so I don't want to do, I'm afraid of whatever, I respect whatever connotation it is, that therefore I won't do that. Also, the same reasoning, he tells me to do something, I have Yira, therefore I will do that.
Right. So that's a good question. The answer is that Yira doesn't that Ahava doesn't motivate you to not do things. Ahava motivates you to yes do things, but that's no big deal. That's nothing. Anybody can say, I'll do anything for you. Imagine a relationship where someone says, I'll do anything for you. Oh yeah, will you also not do things for me? That's the real test. The real test of a relationship.
Well, then that's not a real Ahava. If it's a real Ahava, what you just said is a selfish Ahava.
Correct. It's not a real Ahava because
So what he's saying, the ki afsha yira, fake yira is sumira, and fake ava is vasitov.
No, because
so true ava should be for both. For
right,
ava.
That's correct. But true ava can only come after yira, because to have that feeling of love of kiruv, there has to be first a sense that there is a gap, and I'm now going to bridge the gap, like husband and wife, right? When a man and a woman are dating, there is yira. There should be a feeling of there's a distance between us. When you come to the chuppah, now there's ava, now there's a bridging that gap, a coming together, a closeness. Similarly, even within the marriage, there's a yira and an ava. There's a distance, there's a separation. Then there's, now that we have the separation, we're going to bridge that gap, we're going to come closer, we're going to have ava, we're going to have kiruv between us. But that's only after there is a respect of the boundaries. We know what the boundaries are, and I say, you know what? That's your boundary, or this is the boundary. Once those are established, i.e. Yira, you can then have Ava. So yes, Ava without Yira preceding it is not, either it's not real Ava, or it's not a lasting Ava. There has to be first a recognition of boundaries. Once you recognize the boundaries, then you can say, okay, now I know there's a distance between us. There's a gap. Okay, now we can work to close that gap.
I think you could maybe compare it to a baby's love for its parents, and as it develops, because I'm not kind of making this up, but when a child is first born, so obviously it doesn't have this concept of fear, but it loves its parents, it yearns for its parents, but that love and yearning is not a very sophisticated level. It can't explain why it loves its parents, it's all it knows. But eventually it comes to realize that, you know, you have to follow the rules, and then once you get older, you realize you love your parents, but for very different reasons than when you were a child. Your parents, they provide sustenance for you in a very different way, but you have a more intellectually mature approach to your appreciation.
Okay. Both are necessary. I'm not sure.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, 100%.
And Yirush, once you have both motivates you to do both things. Everything you said, I'm not disagreeing with anything
right.
You just said. So, but let's say, okay, now you have true Yira and Ahava. Each one should motivate you to do both. Just like I have true Yira, I feel true distance. Therefore, everything he tells me, I'm going to do. Not just. Just because I have if a real true distance means that he knows much, whatever, he knows much more than you, and then therefore whatever he tells you to do, you'll also do it. True Ahava, whatever, since you take into consideration his opinion and his tzivuyim, therefore you'll do you're also not doing what he tells you not to do.
Right. So once you have real year and real ava, there is going to be a certain amount of overlap. But the shoydish of the surmeira is yira, and the shoydish of the aseh toiv is ava. Because what makes me want to do something nice for another person? Yira? No, ava. I love you. I want to do something nice for you. That's the natural way that I feel towards a person. Whereas what makes me willing to refrain from doing something? Yira. There's a respect. There's an awe. There's a distance. So again, and you need both. That goes without saying. No question about it. Once you have both, is there going to be a certain amount of overlap, or maybe it's going to be hard to distinguish one from the other? Could be. Yeah. But what's the main? And again, by the way, we're only talking about Av and Yir here. What about all the other emotions? We're not even talking about those, because even still within this, we're saying Yira is the foundation of it. Basically, Yira and Av are the two main emotions. Are there other emotions? Sure. Of course there are. These are the main ones. So too, the main motivator of Surmeira is Yira. That's what's going to cause me or inspire me, if you will, to withhold myself from doing something I would otherwise want to do. And in the converse, what would inspire me to do something for somebody? Ava. Ava means kiruv. Yira means richuk, distance. Anyway, for the sake of time, we'll move on.
Yeah, yeah.
And perhaps, God willing, when we take our parachute and jump down into the Tanya directly and go through all the trees and stuff, which is what we'll start doing next semester, God willing, perhaps we'll get more into depth in this. But for the sake of trying to cover some ground, we'll move on a little bit. So let's start Perek Mem Aleph. Perek Mem Aleph, Bram. Tzorach Liz, the Zikaron, Tamid. Reishis, Havoy, Devikin, Shorsha. I have to have, in my sense, awareness, the reishis of avodah, the beginning of avodah, and the ikir of avodah, the shayrish of avodah. Skip two or three lines down. Lefachos, at least tzorach la'ira tchila ayira ativis. I have to awaken within myself the natural awe. So we already know. I know one thing already. It's natural. I have it within me already. Not to rebel against the King of Kings. This is natural within me. It's part of who I am. I have to reveal it, though. I have to bring it to the surface. Skip a line, the second last word in the line. Dahainu. What does it mean? Lisbonim b'machshov al kol ponim. That I have to at least reflect in my mind. Meaning, I might not yet feel any emotional attachment. I might have no feeling toward it. Okay. Lisbonim b'machshov al kol ponim. No, at least stick it in your brain. At least reflect. Lisbonim. Meditate is a difficult translation because it often has associations with it that some people don't like. But lisboinen, right, we know where that word comes from. Bina, understanding. Lisboinen really means to contemplate. Or if you want an even simpler word, think. That's an even easier word. Lisboinen, to think. The machshav tal kaponim, at least in your brain. Again, maybe you don't feel it, okay, but at least think in your brain. What should you think about? This, by the way, he's teaching me a quote-unquote meditation. The Altav right now is giving me chomer. He's giving me what to meditate on. Or if you don't like the word meditate, what to contemplate. I'm supposed to go through this in my mind. By the way, the Rebbe said to learn this passage of Tanya Baal Peh. I'm supposed to reflect in my mind, to contemplate this whole process. So what do I think about? G'dulas Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the greatness of Hashem. What is the greatness of Hashem? That He's Ein Sof, He's infinite. What does it mean to be infinite? Well, I'm sitting here in this room, Gluck 303. There's a few of us here. The room is yay big. Not so big, really. I've been in bigger lecture halls before. Okay, definitely not infinite. But it's within the whole building. Okay, I can still picture my place within this whole building, even though I haven't seen every room in this building. I haven't seen the whole building, but I've seen the base medrash here and so on and so forth. So I can picture where I fit in and how I relate to this entire building. Okay, still not infinite. Yet that relates to the entire campus. Okay, maybe I can zero in on where I am on the campus. Yet that is the entire neighborhood. And that's really within the entire Manhattan. Can you picture where you are relative to the entire Manhattan? Maybe. Maybe you could do it. Do you feel like an infinite connection there? Or an infinite disconnection? Maybe not yet. But New York, there's the five boroughs. How do I relate to the entire five boroughs? Where do I fit in? Am I like, I'm like, what kind of speck am I in the entire five boroughs? Or the whole state of New York, for that matter. Or maybe the entire Eastern Seaboard. Or maybe the entire United States of America. Or maybe North America. Can you picture yourself in North America? A little hard to picture. I don't know if that's Ein Sof yet. It's a little hard to picture me in North America. And even further, the next obvious step, me in the globe, in the world. Whoa. That just got pretty intense. Because I can't even see both sides. North America, I could picture the map. I can't even picture the whole earth at once. I mean, I can picture the image of what the earth looks like, but I can't even picture the whole thing all at once. And what about now the entire universe, the Milky Way galaxy? And go on and on and on like this. That's still nothing. Imagine you in the Milky Way galaxy. That's still not infinite. The Milky Way galaxy is not infinitely greater than you. Hashem, Gedulas Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the infinite Hashem. This is something I should think about. The Altar is giving me, remember, it's not homework, but he's giving me stuff to work with. This is a meditation, a contemplation that of Yira, that will generate a feeling of Yira. Remember, Yira is the foundation. So I am meant to go through this in my mind. Umalchusoi, and his kingship. What's kingship mean? Malchusoi, Malchus. Kingship means the king is so far removed from you, yet he chooses to be king over you. He doesn't need you. He's all powerful. The king can do anything he wants. He doesn't need you. He chooses to be king over you. Oh. He wants a relationship with me? Ah, gewaltig. That's amazing. Wow. It will be, I heard a mashal that imagine a graduate student in biology or whatever it would be, not biology I guess, is studying some type of bug that lives only in one country in the world, and they spend 5, 6, 7, 8 years studying this bug. They know everything, its mating habits and its food habits and how it dies, everything. The bug has no idea. Doesn't even know that it's being studied. It's so like far beyond, so far removed. Malchus. Hashem anyway chooses to be my king, king over me. He wants a relationship with me? Wow. Asher hi malchus kol olamim al yedim asachtonim. The kingship extends over all the worlds. V'yum amali kolam and save kolam. We're not going to discuss these now because it'll take us way off track. We'll get those another time. Fill the whole earth. What does he do? He places everything aside. The Elyonim and the Tachtonim. And what does he do? And he says, I want you, Yidden. Wow. This is what I'm supposed to contemplate. I'm supposed to think about this. He wants me. And not just me in the general sense. The Olaf Bifrat, me in the particular sense. He chose me. Whoa. Hashem's choosing me? And not just in the general sense. Kichayev Adam Loimim, Bishvil Nivra Olam. Everything was created for me. The whole thing is here for me to step up to the plate. It's as if I'm the only person in the world. I'm the last man standing. I accept Hashem also. I accept his kingship, Leo's Melechalov. I say, you want the relationship? Wow. I'm honored. Tremendous. To serve him, I'll do anything you want. Whatever you need. Hashem Nitzavalov. He's standing over you. That's not intimidating. That's amazing. That's uplifting. He's standing over me. You know how many creatures there are in the world? I don't think we've even discovered all the creatures in the world. Certainly in the ocean. Every once in a while you hear in the news, they just discovered a new type of whatever. Really? How long have we been on this planet for? You're still discovering new things? Yeah. Hashem Nitzavalov is standing over you. Molech Cholartz Kevoidei. But he's everywhere, and at the same time is choosing to spend time with you. Umabitolov, he's paying attention. He watches what you do. You know how great a compliment that is? Hashem has nothing better to do than pay attention to what I do. I'm so insignificant, so meaningless. Something that I do matters? Nah, it can't be. It can't be that what I do makes the slightest difference in the world. Well, let me see these words again. Umabit olav. He is looking at you. Meaning, he wants to see what you do. Like a father who watches his child. What's he going to do? How is he going to react? I can't wait to see how successful he'll be. I can't wait. That's the way a parent looks at a child. I can't wait to see it. And a parent watches when someone else talks to the child. How does the child react? How does the child answer the question? How does he do? Uvoichin klois v'leiv. He knows everything going on within you. Meaning he cares about you. There's a relationship. Im oiv v'karoi. Yes, he cares if you do the right thing. Yes, he cares. And he cares if you do the wrong thing. Of course he cares. Not because he's vengeful. A vengeful guy. I care what you do because if you step out of line, I'm going to whip you. No. He wants to make sure you serve him properly because that's what he's excited to see. You stand in front of him like a king. There is no mention of punishment here. The punishment? What punishment? Skip to the next page. Page Nun Zayin. About 8 or 9 lines or so from the bottom. The first word in the line is Zu. And the middle of the line, Al Kol Panim. You see it? Page Nun Zayin. Middle, about 8 or so lines on the bottom. First word in the line is Zu. Al Kol Panim, Kemoy Rebosev Vadam Hedyot. It should be that my Yira for Hashem is at least like the Yira that I have for another human being. Lefachis, Sheinei Melech. That's not a king. A regular person, a Mabit Olav. When a regular person looks at me, my behavior changes. Forget the king and forget the Hashem stuff. A regular human being, a regular guy, a friend, is looking at me. I'm not in the room by myself. My behavior changes. Automatically. I will restrain myself from doing something that is not appropriate because there's another person standing here. That's Yira. That's all. Like Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai says to his Talmidim, Masechta Brachos, he says to them, the fear of heaven should be for you, like the fear of man. What does Talmidim say? Ad Khan! Really? That's it? That's it? That's all you have to tell me? My fear of heaven should be like fear of a human being? Ad Khan, really? That's their question. What kind of bracha is that? And the answer is, yeah, taki. Because what's the difference? When I'm in front of another Bosar Vadam, what happens? My behavior changes. Why does my behavior change in front of a Bosar Vadam, but the fact that Meloi Chalarz Kvoyder, Hashem is everywhere, my behavior does not necessarily change. Why is that? Well, very simply, because I'm not conscious of God's presence right in front of me. When another person's in the room, if I don't know that they're there because they're hiding behind the couch, then my behavior doesn't change. But if I know another person's here, my behavior changes because I'm aware that I'm standing in someone else's presence. So too, this is what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is telling his Talmidim. If only you could be aware of Hashem's presence, just like you're aware of a Bosar Vadam's presence, then your behavior would change completely. A person does an avera, they say, I hope nobody sees me. Now, Al-Tabu says that actually, Yira Zunikles Yira Tatov Yira Zchait. It's not the highest level of Yira, but it's Yira nevertheless. I'm going to skip one passage that I wanted to do just for the sake of time. But the point is that there's meant to be a contemplation that will bring me to an... And the contemplation, we just went through a contemplation. We went through it very quickly, I know. At the beginning of Parak Mem Aleph, I'm supposed to think about that. And then when I think about it, I should think about it again. And then I should think about it again. The point is that my contemplation can and should and will bring to a feeling, to an awareness that, oh, I'm in the presence of another person. Well, I'm actually in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I have to adjust my behavior accordingly. So the purpose, then, the next purpose, the purpose of the generating the feeling is that my action should follow. I should do the right mitzvahs, refrain from whatever I'm not supposed to do, etc. The contemplation is going to help stimulate me to action. Now we'll skip to page 120, which is in Perek Mem Beis. Page 120, about halfway down, there's two dots towards the end of the line. Then it says, Vehine. Vehine, kol adam Yisrael, yeh mishyeh, every single yeh, whoever they may be, kishu yizboinim bazeh, shah gedoyle b'chol yoyim. When they take time out of every day to reflect and contemplate these very concepts we've been discussing. Hashem mamish fills the upper worlds and the lower worlds. He mamish fills the heavens and the earth. He's gazing, he's looking, he's paying attention, he's focusing. And he knows what I'm thinking and feeling. He's counting every single step. That's how much he cares. What's that going to do when I reflect on this? Every day. Imagine if I were to take 2 minutes a day, to 1 minute a day to think about this. I might start to change a little bit on the inside. I might start to actually become aware of Hashem's presence. I might become a little bit different. My insides, my feelings, my awareness might actually slowly change. This is going to implant within me yira for the whole day. Take time out of every day. If I just even now can retrace my steps in a sense, even very simply, for at every time, every moment, I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do. Again, the contemplation will lead to action. I shouldn't shirk my responsibilities. Like it said, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, that if only you could be aware of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you would be aware of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, your action would follow suit. That was Yira. One example of Yira. Let's skip now to Perek Mem Vav on page Samachay. We'll do an Ava contemplation. So that was an example, I know very quickly, that was an example of a Yira contemplation that the Alter Rebbe is giving me in my final Yechidus to take with me. That I will have tools that I can always turn to and I always should turn to every day. And there's other examples of Yira. Now we're going to do one Ava example. Perek Mem Vav. This is like a reciprocity Ava. That's what we could call this. This applies to everybody. This is going to help me awaken within me the Ava Musuteres, the hidden love. Just like we said before, there's a hidden Yira, a latent Yira. Maybe instead of hidden, we could call it latent. And a latent Ava.
It's even more so than the. Seems even stronger than the Yira.
Why do you say that?
Stronger, but just because they would say ma'oid, or lahayir, we can use the lashonis by yira.
Maybe, I don't know.
It's very close to be able to bring it out.
Yeah. What is this contemplation? Skip a few lines down. See, the first word in the line is ubir choy seha, then it says kamushi zbar. See the place for hukasher? Few lines down. What is the contemplation? If I will take to heart what it says in the pasuk, just like water reflects a face, whatever face you look in the water, or you could say a mirror, right? Look in the water, Whatever face you show in the water, that's what's reflected back. Kein leva adam el adam. So too one man's heart to another man's heart. Whatever face you show them, whatever heart you show them, that's what they will show back to you. By the way, as an aside, it works. If there's ever a person that you have friction with, do this. Show them av. Show them love. Show them kindness. Show them a smiling face. And they will change. They will transform their feeling towards you as well. Anyway, that's not the point over here, but test it out if you need it. Pirush, what does it mean? That kamayim apanim lapanim kein leva adam ala adam. Just like the image, the face the person shows in the water, so too the exact same face appears in the water. The feeling of love that one person has for another, it's going to awaken av in the other person as well. Again, try it. The person sees how you care for them, they will not be able to resist. They will come to care for you as well. This is the way it goes in Midas Kol Adam. If they're equal, if I treat you one way, you treat me the same way. Now, all the more so if it's not two people who are on the same madrego. But if it's imelech godol v'rav, a big king, mara avosei gdoyle v'atsumol ish hedyoit, he shows his love to a regular, simple person, v'nivze. Worse than a hedyoit is his nivze. He's disgraced. V'shofel anoshim, he's low. U'menuvel, he's dirty. Hamutol bo'ashpa, he's mamish on a dump of garbage. And this great king descends from his high place to you in the garbage dump. And he brings with him Imkol Sarov Yachtov with all his ministers and all his Rolls Royce and whatever, Makima Merima Mashposoi, and he lifts you up from the trash. He brings you into the chamber of the king. He brings you into the closest chamber where no other person gets to go. And he spends time personally with you. He brings you in close. Like Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what the Eibusher did for us at Yetzias Mitzrayim. He took us out of the dumps. We sunk all the way almost down to the bottom, but he took us out. Yetzias Mitzrayim was a long time ago. Well, Perek Mem Zayin, which we're not going to do, talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim is every day. Each of us have a personal exodus from Egypt. Out of our own garbage dump. Al achas kama v'chama, all the more so, shetis oyre memelo ha'ava k'fulim u'chopelis v'leva hedyot v'shavla noshim hazeh. Al nefesh ha-melech. All the more so now, if I'm the recipient of that givaldic kiruv, how will I now feel towards that melech? Biskashus ha-nefesh mamash melev v'nefesh b'umka d'libalein keitz. This is all the contemplation I'm supposed to think about, to be me'oyer ahava. Va'afim libel kalev ho-even. You have a heart like a stone. If you contemplate this, hamas yimas v'hoya l'mayim, you will melt. Your stone heart will turn to water. It'll melt. This is a contemplation for Ava. And there are more contemplations for Ava as well that he discusses. Many madrigas. We don't have time to go through all of them. But you get the general picture.
Do you know the reason why they're at the top of the courage?
Because Mem Aleph is the Yisoid. What does he say at the beginning of Mem Aleph? Reishis o avoida v'ikra v'sharsha. This is the foundation. If you don't have this, what are you going to build on? You want to love Hashem? That's great. Take a step back. Reishis o avoida v'ikra v'sharsha. This is where you have to start. If you don't have this, then everything else is not, doesn't have the proper foundation. A building needs a foundation.
Also, the Rama, he says to learn before davening. So the Rama, Rama says, I mean, this feels exactly what the Rama says, Eremalov, that Shiflus Alad.
And Hilchus Simon Tzadik Ches and Hilchus Tefillah, you mean?
Yeah.
He says, Lizboinim Megadlus Hakel Veshiflus Alad.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's...
That means going to Chassidus.
Yeah.
Are you right, Moshe? Yeah.
The Rama writes in Simon Tzadik Ches and Hilchus Tefillah that for before davening, a person should be Misboinim Veshiflus. I don't remember if it's Shiflus Adam and Godless Hakel or Godless Hakel and Shiflus Adam. I don't remember the order, but look it up.
That's
the lowness of man and the greatness of God.
And that's Perek Aleph.
Could be. Yeah. Well, what you should think about the Shiflus Adam and what you should think about this about the Godless Hakel, Chassidus. You have what you have in time, you have what to think about. It tells you what to think about. Many people are very concerned to daven Bizman, which is of course also halacha, but they overlook the halacha of thinking before davening about Hashem, which might also be important since you're davening to Hashem. But anyway, that's for another class.
You
ask your rabbi, I don't know. It's a din of
Shulchan Aruch. Right.
That you could say that's not a halacha.
Yeah.
Look in the Ramah, see, ask your rabbi. Go look up the Ramah. It's in Simon Tzadik Ches, if my memory serves me correctly. Yeah, look it up and ask your rabbi how that applies today, what it means, and I'm sure you'll have different interpretations of what it means, like anything else. You get anything else in life. Is it a chiyuv? I don't know. Is anything a Shulchan Aruch a chiyuv? I don't know. I mean, ask your rabbi, how do you know which things a Shulchan Aruch we do, which things we don't do? I don't know. That's halacha shaila. Anyway, being that we are approaching the time when we're supposed to finish the class, I want to conclude the Tanya now. Never really conclude the Tanya, of course. Never conclude anything. They never conclude any sefer, right? That goes without saying. As soon as you finish Zayis HaBracha, you're just starting in Bereshis again. I mean, I read this already, right? But okay, read it again. There's so much to uncover, that goes without saying. There's, I believe, if I recall correctly, that Rebbe Rashab said that after you learn the Tanya, your understanding of the Tanya is the way, same way a goat would understand the Tanya. I don't remember if that's something like this. I don't know exactly, but something like that. Okay, so... Now, in Perek Lamed Hey, the Altareb, which we discussed last week, I think last week, before maybe, the Altareb introduced us to a little person named the Yanuka from the Zayar. Remember that? He's talking about a candle and flame and burning, and there's a flame on top, and there's a wick, and there's oil in the whole mushel. Remember that? The oil are the good deeds, the wick is the body, the flame is the presence of the Shekhinah, it has to burn. What burns? The wick burns. What's the wick? Your body. Remember the Beinoni, he's struggling. What can I do in this world? I'm like second place to the tzaddik. I'm kind of a loser. No, you're not a loser. You want to change the world. You know how to transform the world? With your body. Through the gashmias of the world.
Oh, hi. What time are you finished there? You're not supposed to give a work at 9 o'clock, I guess.
Finish at 9 o'clock.
Oh, you're finished. Oh, okay. Okay, so just one.
So... just like the flame is consumes the wick burns, that's the body, so too, the Beinoni, same thing as the Tzaddik, they use this world, they use the gashmias of the world to transform the world. So let's just wrap up with that Mr. Yanuka again. On the bottom of page 148, chapter Nun Gimel, 53, the 53 chapters of Tanya corresponding to the 53 days the Altareb was in prison when he got out of Yutes Kislev, corresponded to the 53 parshiyos. Last line of page 148. This is what the Yanuka said, the flame which is burning on his head, he shchinta, itzrech lemishcha, which is the shchina requires oil. Skip the next line towards the end. V'inun oivdin tovin. These are the good deeds, the mitzvahs. These are the mitzvahs coming from Hashem's Chachma. In order to hold down the Shechina, which is the flame, you got to have oil. What's the oil? The mitzvahs. That is the wick. Just like with a physical flame, a physical candle. How does the oil shine? How does the light burn? There has to be kiloyoin v'sreifas hapsila. Has to burn up, has to consume the wick, the body, the gashmias. And the peches le'esh, it turns into fire. So too, kach oir hashchina, the light of the Shechina, sheira nefesh elokis. How does it dwell on the godly soul? Al yidei kiloyo in nefesh bahamis, by burning up and consuming the animal soul. Misapchus mechashuch lenohira, and transforming it from darkness to light. Umemriru lemiska, from bitterness to sweetness, betzadikim. Oy lefaches, or at least al yidei kiloyo in levusheha, by consuming, by burning up the garments shein machshav divramaisa. Transforming it from the darkness of Klipa to the infinite light of Hashem, which comes into the Machshava Dibra Maisa of the mitzvahs that a Beinoni does, each and every single one of us. By transforming the animal soul from darkness to light. What does this do? Nice bechinas halos man lahamshich oira shchina. This brings down the shchina. We're not going to get into halos man right now. Take us off track. Lahamshich oira shchina, to draw down the shchina. He bechinas gilui or ein soif baruchu, which is a revelation of the infinite light of Hashem al nafsho lokis shabem moichin shabereishay, on the godly soul. Uvaze yuvan hetiv mashakosuv ki Hashem lokecha ish oichlohu. Now I can understand what the pasuk means. Hashem Elokecha Eish Oichla is a consuming fire. It's a fire that consumes and burns up the gashmias of the world, transforming the world through the simple acts of a Beinoni. I'm just finishing.
Right. No. So is there another one we can take?
The key points, just to wrap up.
What?
The key points. Would you mind closing? I'm really wrapping up, if you don't mind, sir.
Okay.
Key points. Changing who we are means changing our emotional capacities. Number one. Number two, we have two basic emotions, Yira and Ahava. Have to work to develop them. We go, a Yira comes first, but both are necessary, goes without saying. Yira inspires a person, or should inspire a person, will inspire a person, if done properly, to carefully consider his actions. Again, as if someone else is standing there with you. Contemplating the greatness of Hashem brings to Yira. Love, Ava, follows Yira. Ava can be harnessed by this concept of Hashem is extending His love to me, lifting me up out of the dumps, so to speak, so to how I should feel, how much more I should care for Him. And then the conclusion of the Tanya is reminding me again of the meaning and the power of the struggle by telling me again that I have the power to transform myself and to transform the world. Eish Oichlohu, that is what Hashem is. He's the consuming fire. That's through the mitzvahs, that's through the transformation of the gashmias of the world that we can accomplish our purpose here. L'chaim b'livracha. See you next semester.